Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In his message titled, As the Crow Flies, Reverend David Williams tells us that God asks us to make the way straight for the Lord. We all know where our mountains and valleys are in our lives. That does not make our path straight. Love one another and give grace to everyone to straighten our path with the Lord. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. This is a season that is filled with familiar moments. We come into a time that is a season of ritual, a season where we'll repeat certain habits or certain things from our past. We'll have retellings of old stories and gatherings in different places, and that kind of repetition is a good thing. But as we consider that, we must also admit to ourselves that there are places and rituals we have in life that are perhaps not the best, where we repeat actions that really we should have moved on past, where old family dynamics come into play as we gather with parents and children, where we find ourselves recalling old bitternesses as we enter a season that evokes both the best in us and, because of course the season is entirely stress-free, often some of the worst in us. So right now, as we look towards a season where much should be a repetition of joyous story calling us further onward, let's admit now that some of our habits and rituals are less than life-giving. Let's do that together using the prayer of confession. Please join with me in praying. Gracious and loving God, we are creatures of habit. We move from day to day, repeating the same actions, engaged in the same thought, etching the same understanding of life into our days. That familiarity can make life easier, but also can keep us trapped in patterns of living that lessen us. We wander in circles, gnawing over the same old resentments, picking at the same old wounds, and tenderly feeding the embers of long-burning hatreds. Remind us, gracious God, that in this season of preparedness and hope, we need to change the pattern of our days, to seek your kingdom. In Christ, please remind us. Amen. Now listen for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn again from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You can follow along on page 60 of your Pew New Testament. Let us listen again for God's holy word. Luke writes, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a very little boy, I wanted to fly, not in airplanes, because I'd done that. I'd been there and taken long flights with my parents, who often will remind me that every time we landed, I got sick. It was a great thing, a wonderful thing. It wasn't that, because that wasn't particularly entertaining. But I wanted to, there was this, like, I felt like just at some point, I should be able to just throw myself up into the air and just keep going. You know, that was the hope. I can remember at least one beautiful summer evening, and the air is perfect, and you've had that delightful childhood summer day, and there's been dinner, and there's been ice cream, so I'm all sugared up. And the world just felt alive with magic that comes, when the day cools to perfection and you're outside and the stars are bright and alive in the sky. And those nights, it would feel like maybe it was just so perfect that the rules of physics might say, well, okay, it's such a nice night. And gravity would decide, hey, let the guy have a little fun. And I can remember being little and just running and leaping and jumping and flinging myself at the air. Like, you know, if you've ever seen pictures of those baby goats, you ever seen baby goats playing? Oh, they're so cute. Well, it was like that. You're just like, just leaping and leaping in the hopes that maybe this would be the night where I would surprise myself by soaring up and into the night sky, which didn't happen. But it still felt good to try for it, and now I still kind of have that feeling. Like, I really wish I could fly, but usually it's when I'm stuck on 95. You know, you're in the stop and go. It's 10 o'clock at night. You're on your way back from something in the city, and your wife has work to do in the evening, and it's 10 o'clock, so of course 95 is locked solid, because who knows why. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, why am I still doing this? I should be flying. This is almost 2019, you know? And my favorite, the best science fiction film ever, Blade Runner. When is Blade Runner set? What year? 2019? Yeah, it's like, oh Lord, and that's unfair, you know? I mean, you know, they've got these flying cars, and I remember watching it as a young man, and they've got these navigation systems, and we've got the navigation systems, but they're not navigating us through the sky, and that's not fair. We're still stuck in the mire. Best case scenario, tracking ourselves, as our GPS system said, well, if you'd made a decision 10 minutes ago to go this way, you'd be fine. Now you're just out of luck. And I long in those points where I just feel stuck. I want that direct path. That direct path that does not involve traffic, that does not involve noodling through our falling apart, overcrowded transportation network. I want to go as the crow flies. I want to make a bee line. Something that involves me in the air with wings flying directly to the thing and the place where I need to go, devoid of detours, devoid of that existential malaise we get as we see that endless line of blood-red brake lights ahead of us. I want that way that is straight, where all obstacles are set aside, and we can just get to that place we need to be. That's what we yearn for. And we live in and around Washington, so we don't get it that often. But there's talk of what it is like and how important making the way straight is from Luke's gospel today. Luke's gospel coming to us from the historian of our gospel writers. And Luke gives us this Greco-Roman history. And so, like anyone establishing a place where you're going from one to another, he wants to give us a sense of our starting point. You know, here is where we begin. And so the first two chapters of this gospel start out with all kinds of descriptors of the history of the Jewish people. Stories mostly, and we understand as we work our way through history in Luke, this is not dates and places and facts to be memorized. This is Greco-Roman history, and that meant it was story. It was a narrative with a beginning that flows through to an end. And so our history begins with angels and shepherds and miracles and songs. But eventually Luke needs to tell us, because he's obligated to do so, when. When is this? Give us a place, give us a space. And that's as we work our way through chapter 3 in the beginning of Luke's gospel, that's what we get. This is suddenly a whole bunch of names thrown at us all at once, this scattergun blast of names that you don't inflict on liturgists who aren't you. Trachonitis? I mean, that sounds like something you might need an antibiotic for. It's not the kind of things you want to do that, but trying to give us a place. Here is this person and that person who were doing things then. Here is who was reigning and in what year. And Luke giving us our starting point as best he can. And that's a challenge for us because it's not precise. He's trying to be as precise as he can, but the ancient world was kind of sloppy when it came to history. I mean, we kind of know the year, but those vary depending on which historian you're reading or whether you are using the Julian calendar, the Jewish calendar, the Syrian calendar, the Macedonian calendar, or the Egyptian calendar, all of which were in play at that point in time. That would not be confusing at all. Is it Christmas? Well, kind of, within a 10-year window. Time was different then. But he does his best and tells us where we were and who we were with. And what was happening right at that moment was that John the Baptist was offering up a prophetic challenge, particularly to the Herodian dynasty, this corrupt Jewish leader who had fallen in with the powers of Rome and who served them and his family more than he served the Jewish people. John the Baptist challenged Herod, calling out that the messianic age was at hand. And at the core of that, he asked for all Jewish people, turn away from the dry and lifeless powers around you. Reclaim yourself, particularly through baptism, through that refreshing finding anew of your soul, and turn instead towards a joyous promise of a life woven up with the will of the Creator. And all of that tying in with the words of the prophet Isaiah. Every one of the Gospels, as it talks to us about the arrival of Jesus, brings out this same quote, speaking of John and of Jesus, about a voice that cries out in a place of chaos and wildness and says, in all of this chaos, this is the time to make the way of the Lord straight. And as we enter into this season of preparedness, as we journey towards remembering the birth of Jesus and the birth of something new into this world, we are reminded how important it is to make that path straight in our own souls. Because God created us as free creatures, all of us at liberty to live or not live in keeping with God's purpose in our lives. We can choose each and every day and each and every moment to do things that move us closer to God's best grace for us. We can show kindness. We can show forbearance. We can be patient. We can hold our tongues when a cruel word rises. We can forgive. We can do all of those things and journey closer to God to move towards that goal that Jesus sets for us. Or, because we're free, we can do exactly the opposite. We can choose to turn away. We can choose distraction. We can choose bitterness. We can choose resentment. We can choose greed. And in that, continue to go nowhere. Continue to be stalled out. Continue to see that brake light hell extending all the way in front of us. God's Spirit, if we don't let it, will not flow in us. We can challenge it and resist it. We can cast up mountains. We can dig down deep valleys if we don't embrace that Spirit. Where do we go with that? All of us will ultimately be part of that intent of our God. We will. But we are asked this season, make that way straight. Make it straight in the world so far as we can, but most deeply, make it straight in our own souls. Let those mountains you have cast up so you can't see God's light for the shadow of them fall away. Let those valleys you dwell in that are places of darkness, old, familiar, deeply dug darkness, fall away. And let your way be straight, because a straight and open path really does feel a lot like flying. Those moments where the construction falls away, and all the perhaps unkindly and unsanctuary-like words you have been saying for the last 20 minutes in traffic suddenly feel irrelevant. And the road is open, and you are flowing and moving straight towards a place where you yearn to go. Is that a good feeling? I like that feeling. And that is what opening up that way feels like. As God moves through us, challenges us, but calls us on to that kingdom place that that season prepares. In this time, make that way in yourself. And let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Make the way straight, says the prophet Isaiah. And that is a cry taken up by John and by Jesus. Make that path straight. And each of us, as we live in our own particular wilderness, our own place of chaos and desert and emptiness, each of us knows what that means in us. Because having been shown by Jesus what the goal is, what the end is, that place of radical compassion and mercy and forgiveness and love, we know where in us those mountains and valleys are that keep that path from being straight. Because there are places in us where we are so proud we can't see God. And there are places in us where we are so lost and broken and in darkness that we imagine God's path cannot possibly lead through our souls and be a path we can walk on. As we enter this season, we are asked to rise above that, to let those mountains get a little smaller, to lift those dark places up, so that God's grace and God's mercy and God's joy can flow through us, and so that we can walk that path and invite others to journey on it with us. So in this season, try to walk that way a little bit less thumping into the same places that have broken you again and again and again. Let that path be before you and invite others to journey with you and with Jesus as we together declare the real promise of this season. Let all of our paths be straight. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.